Good morning, everybody. Before we begin today's service, Amy has one announcement for us.
Good morning. As all of you may know, we are in the process of switching to a new office administrator. Brittany Collins has been in place for a few weeks now. She's doing marvelously. One of the subjects that is very much up in the air is our newsletter. This was something that was taking Stephanie between 10 and 20 hours a month to do and taking a lot of paid time. We're not a wealthy church. We don't have 20 hours that we can afford to pay someone to put together a newsletter. So I welcome at this point suggestions, thoughts. You can talk to me during the week. You can email me. You can call me. You can stop in. I would also welcome if anyone feels so moved to volunteer to take over the newsletter as a volunteer. Hint, hint, hint. Thank you. We speak to God, the goddess, the spirit of life, the eternal. We speak to the mysterious thread that connects us one to the other and to the universe. We speak to the wisdom at the center of our beings. We embody the yearning of all people. We know that we are not alone unless we create solitude for ourselves, and even then, our community still awaits us. Out of our yearning, we have come to this community. May we help each other proclaim the possibilities we see to create the community we desire, to worship what is worthy in our lives, to teach the truth as we know it, and to serve with justice in all the ways that we can, to the end that our yearning is assuaged and our lives fulfill one another. Come, let us worship here together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
Can we get our chalice lighter for this morning? Flame of our faith, call us into the community of love and justice this morning and every morning. If you would please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing our opening hymn, number 347, Gather the Spirit. Welcome once again, everybody, to the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is David, and I'm this morning's worship associate. Again, we want you to know that no matter who you are or where you have come from, you are welcome here. We welcome those who have known nothing but acceptance in their lives and those who have known the pain of exclusion and suffer disdain for your differences. LCUUC is a UUA-recognized welcoming congregation, which means basically we welcome and affirm all people, regardless of who they love or whatever pronouns you may or may not use. So please, again, want to encourage you to feel free to join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after this morning's service. And while you're there, if you'd like, you can stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC and its happenings. Today's order of service includes announcements, which we already had this morning. So, again, Amy's saying that we're looking for somebody to help out with that newsletter. And let's see. have another...
Silence your electronics.
Yes, silence your electronics. That is what I wanted to add. We were forgetting something here. Yes, if you have any electronics, please, please silence them at this time so we don't disturb the service. And then I believe we have a story for all ages.
Special music.
Special music. My apologies. We have some special music coming up. Let there be peace on earth with Cy Miller and Jill Jackson.
One of the ways that we help to take care of our community is by contributing to local food pantries, both financially and by collecting non-perishable food items, which we donate every month. So if you've brought food items to share, would you please bring them forward at this point? You can just set them over here or have a child bring them forward for you. And I invite the children to stay up front for a story. And our story for today is called Be a Friend, and it's by Selena Yoon. Dennis was an ordinary boy. Who expressed himself in some extraordinary ways. And you can see Dennis's wardrobe there. Everyone called him Mime Boy. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? Dennis didn't speak a word. He would only act in scenes. Have any of you all ever seen someone doing mime? They don't talk, not even one little bit. And usually they wear the black and white striped clothing. And some people like them very much, and some people don't like them very much at all. And these are some of the things Dennis did. He pretended he was riding a bike and pulling on a rope and living in a box. Some children would show and tell in class. Dennis would mime instead. Some children liked to climb a tree. Dennis was happy to be a tree. But even trees get lonely sometimes. Dennis felt invisible. It was as if he were standing on the other side of a wall. And maybe you all have met somebody like this who really acts different in school and nobody really likes to look at him much. But one day, Dennis kicked an imaginary ball. And someone caught it. Her name was Joy. There was no wall between Dennis and Joy. It was more like a mirror. They saw the world the same way. So there they are playing on their imaginary teeter-totter. Must have looked a little strange if you weren't Dennis and Joy. What do you think? But they were having fun. Dennis and Joy didn't speak a word because friends don't have to. But they laughed out loud with jazz hands. When kids are deaf or don't talk and they want to laugh, they do this. So if you ever see somebody out in public talking and they go like this, they're laughing. And they let everyone see them playing together without making a sound. You don't have to be able to talk to somebody to be their friend. They don't have to look like you or act like you. They don't have to make any noise at all. Sometimes a friend just understands you, even if you can't talk together. Even if they are different. Even if nobody else quite sees the world the way they do. So thank you all for listening to my story today, Be a Friend by Selena Yoon. And if I could have Regan up here for my chalice. Go ahead and light it. May the light and the love of our chalice lead you all today and every day. And if you would help me sing the children to their classes, the words are in your order of service. The song is called "For You Shall Go Out." And guys, if you would all follow our lantern. A small gray-haired woman in her 60s was walking along a beach, enjoying an afternoon stroll, when she heard someone shouting for help. Looking around, she saw an obviously distraught man kneeling next to a huge, 6'7", 300-pound man who was turning blue and holding his throat. "Help, help," the first man called. "He was trying to show me a trick. He swallowed a quarter. He can't breathe." Without hesitation, the tiny gray-haired woman raced over, grabbed the large man on the ground by his foot, and she whipped him up into the air. In a second, she had spun him around, balanced him on her hand, reached out, and squeezed his middle. Sure enough, he started to sputter and cough, and he spat the coin out. The woman caught the coin in her hand, twirled him around again, and deposited him gently on his feet. "That was incredible," said his friend. He looked at this little woman and then at his large buddy. And he said, "You seem to know exactly what to do. Are you a doctor? Maybe some kind of judo expert? How did you get the money out of him?" "Oh, no, sir," the woman said. "I'm retired. But you see, I am the chair of the stewardship committee for my UU church. I can get money out of anything." The morning offering will now be given and received. Thank you so much for these and all the gifts received for the life and the work of this community. At this time in our service, we share together our joys and our concerns. Before the service, you are always welcome to silently light a candle at the candle table. But at this point in the service, we share aloud and we light candles together. So would anyone who has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, I'm Esther. Jerry and I celebrated our 49th wedding anniversary yesterday. So, beats.
Congratulations.
I just want to say, when we got married, this was right after it was between semesters, and actually I had graduated, but we went down to Chicago for a four-day wedding, to go down and see the symphony and all, and we had the biggest blizzard. They had 24 inches with a blizzard in Chicago. So we had to stay an extra day in the downtown area. So that's 49 years ago.
I'm Christy. If you could light a candle of joy, please. In September, I took a leap and quit a job that was eating my soul. And this past week, I started a new job that I think will feed my soul.
Good morning, it's Barbara. I have a candle of joy and concern for the same thing. My best friend just died. Nobody knew, none of her family knew that she had a current heart problem. It was very unexpected. But the joy is that she lived her life to the fullest. She was still giving, she was so active. And the memorial service was beautiful.
Hi, this is Paula. A candle of concern for our chemical engineer son, John, who's somewhere in India, about 3-hour bus ride from the closest airport, setting up a new plant for the Cargill Corporation.
And this is Jim, a candle of joy and gratitude. This week I celebrate 9 years as a member of this loving, giving, accepting community, and 10 years clean and sober, and I would not have one without the other.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows which we hold deeply, but which we have not spoken aloud here today.
Our first reading, a voice from the dark called out, "The poets must give us imagination of peace to oust the intense, familiar imagination of disaster. Peace, not only the absence of war, but peace, like a poem, is not there ahead of itself, can't be imagined before it is made, can't be known except in the words of its making. Grammar of justice, syntax of mutual aid. A feeling towards it, dimly sensing a rhythm, is all we have until we begin to utter its metaphors, learning them as we speak. A line of peace might appear if we restructure the sentence of our lives. If we restructured the sentence our lives are making, revoked its reaffirmation of profit and power, questioned our needs, allowed long pauses. A cadence of peace might balance its weight on that different fulcrum. Peace, a presence, an energy field more intense than war, might pulse then. stanza by stanza, into the world, each act of living, one of its words, each word a vibration of light, facets of the forming crystal. Here ends the first reading.
A meditation on hope and love in a time of struggle. In a world so filled with brokenness and sorrow, it would be easy to lose ourselves in never-ending grief, to be choked by our outrage, to be paralyzed by the enormity of suffering, to feel our hearts squeezed tight with hopelessness. Instead, this morning, let us simply breathe together as we hold our hearts open. Breathing in as our hearts fill with compassion. Breathing out as we pray for healing in our world and our lives. Breathing in, opening ourselves to the transforming power of love. Breathing out, praying for peace in our world and in our lives. Breathing in, holding hope in our hearts. Breathing out, praying for justice in our world and in our lives. May we know our strength. May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into this world. Breathing in, we are the prayer. Breathing out, we are the healing. Breathing in, we are the love. Breathing out, we are the peace. Breathing in, we are the hope. Breathing out, we are the justice. May we know our strength. May we be filled with courage. May our love flow from us into this world. Amen, blessed be, and may it ever be so.
And our second reading. If someone with courage and vision can rise to lead in nonviolent action, the winter of despair can, in the twinkling of an eye, be turned into the summer of hope. It is possible to live in peace. Nonviolence is not a garment to put on and off at will. Its seat is in the heart, and it must be an inseparable part of our being. It is possible to live in peace. Nonviolence, which is a quality of the heart, cannot come by an appeal to the brain. It is a plant of slow growth, growing imperceptibly but surely. It is possible to live in peace. If a single person achieves the highest kind of love, it will be sufficient to neutralize the hate of millions. It is possible to live in peace. If we are to reach real peace in this world, and if we are to carry on a real war against war, we shall have to begin with the children. It is possible to live in peace. The future depends on what we do in the present. It is possible to live in peace. Here ends the second reading. And now if you'll please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 170, We Are a Gentle, Angry People.
A group of white extremists have held a federal bird sanctuary for several weeks now. This week, they began bulldozing Indian artifacts. Click like and share if you want world peace. At Mahatma Gandhi just tweeted, "Humanism is patriotism. The majority of humans do not support war, and yet it precedes us against our say." I better retweet that right now. It sounds important. Hashtag stop war. Hashtag give peace a chance. Hashtag justice for all. ISIS says if they get 1 million likes on Facebook, they'll stop bombing Syria. Click like today. Pray for peace. I'll be the first one to admit that I use social media daily. Some of you may have noticed. I also pray daily, and quite often it's for peace. I post about peace and justice. I click like and share on stories of social justice work. Sometimes I get on my knees and I pray to the God of my understanding to stop the violence. I can do all of this without ever stepping away from my huge monitor or putting down my phone. It's amazing. I can dial in social justice. Don't get me wrong, praying and liking and clicking and tweeting are good ways to get information across. It helps. It's the background. It lets us make slow social change. But the work of the peacemaker, the work of the justice seeker, our work, is to do more. And that job can look overwhelming. It's not. But when the mountains are too high and our equipment is too poor, it's easy to stop climbing and to go have some hot chocolate. When the goals are too big and the rewards are too distant, we back away and break down and we grind to a halt and we resort to clicking and tweeting and liking and favoriting. We see this in action around all different kinds of social justice activism. It exhibits itself as a whole variety of ethics. How many of you have ever heard something like this? "Oh, I know we need to fix it, but this is too big. It's just taken on a life of its own. How could anyone handle this?" And honestly, I don't have time to tackle a project of that magnitude. I mean, I work. And the kids have soccer. You don't need me. You need activists, you know, people who know how to do this right and don't mind getting hit with stuff. Those guys. People who have some time to spend working and all. In other words, I got a home and a life. Nobody's thrown anything at me lately. Nobody's fired me for the color of my skin or shot my child. So, you know, I'm kind of busy for this crud. Ask somebody else. I work hard. Let me enjoy my life. As a social justice ethic, it's pretty lousy. It's an ethic of handle it yourself because I'm okay over here, and that looks scary. How about this one? "I am just so impressed with all those social justice folks. I could never do what they do. It takes a special kind of person to get those things done. Someone like Jesus. Maybe like Buddha. Or those people you see on TV giving kids in Africa gruel, you know, while they play in garbage. I just admire them so much. You know, not the gruel people. But you know what I mean. Those people are living saints, like that little short woman, you know. Not Dr. Ruth, the other one. That Mother Teresa and all the work she did in Australia or New Zealand or China or wherever it was that they had those little brown people that were hungry. This is an ethic of discipleship. It's an ethic that says it'll take a Messiah, some great teacher, to fix this problem, and I am not a great teacher. So I'll wait right here quietly until one comes along, and then I'll follow them, probably on Twitter. They will show me how to clean the big mess up, and until they come, I am off the hook. This fits in too with Jesus will lead me to do the right thing. Or I prayed on it and it's not time yet. Maybe worst of all is an ethic of despair. I could just cry about those poor suffering people. Those poor black kids that got shot. Those poor refugees. It would take 100 lifetimes to fix this. It's so broken. Nothing I could ever do would impact it. Someone smarter than me has to come up with a plan, and maybe it'll make sense to me, and then I could think about ways that I could help. And this ethic says I'm not even willing to try. None of these get much done. They're reasons to quit without trying. So what does work? What calls us to do the work of healing the world without quitting when we see the Godzillas that some of these problems have become? Guilt works briefly. For those of you who have children or remember your own childhood, you know how this one goes. Don't you feel bad about what happened? Don't you want to do something? Look at your brother over there crying. If you don't do something, you're just as bad. In fact, you're worse than the kid who hurt him. Because you could make him feel better. So do something right now. And if someone really wants to make you feel rotten, they may even bring up Martin Niemöller and quote at you from the famous poem. First they came for the communist. I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the socialist, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Catholic. And then they came for me, but there was no one left to speak out for me. This one comes into play when we watch Donald Trump calling for registration of Muslims. It's easy to guilt people. But guilt tends to be misplaced. Guilt should be for things you've actually done wrong. For the times when you should be ashamed of yourself. Guilt lets us heal wounds that we have created. It works with things we've done. There's nothing to feel guilty about when you didn't do it. I don't feel guilty about 9/11. I don't feel guilty about the police shooting people in the street halfway across this country. That's too big for me to feel guilty about. I don't feel guilty about the bombing in Syria. If we are truly acting out of loving compassion for other people, out of the Buddha's all-encompassing love or Christian unconditional love, humanist concern for others, then we engage in social activism from an ethic of risk. That says that there are too many variables in any big situation to be really sure of what an outcome will be. It's just too big. Two people getting married embrace an ethic of risk. They don't know what decision that ceremony will have on their lives or what it will mean. They don't know that it'll make them live happily ever after. That's too big. All they know is it makes them happy today, and it may position them better in the future. It's a positive step. When we're doing social justice work, we want to do things to make other things happen. We protest to get marriage equality. We teach farming to end world hunger. We give up eating meat to promote animal welfare. Some of us take up nursing to save the world. It doesn't work. Change your focus. Begin to look at the world in a different way. For years, we protested the Boy Scouts of America's decision not to allow gay, bisexual, or transgender boys, volunteers, or scoutmasters. The end goal was huge, that we were going to overturn this completely. We were going to remove any homophobia. We were going to remove any anti-gay sentiment. That is massive. That is mountain-sized. So after years and years of protest, when the Boy Scouts did repeal their prohibition of gay scouts, UU churches across the country started to argue. It wasn't enough. Wasn't good enough. They didn't repeal the prohibitions against gay adults. We were going to continue to refuse to take on Boy Scout troops that allowed gay scouts now because they weren't going to allow gay adults. Dare to make a small gain. Applaud the small stuff and then keep working. Climb the mountain until you reach a place to camp. Don't keep insisting that you are going to get to the top today, no matter what. You're going to fall off the side and be a pancake. The big goal may not be reachable by doing what you're doing, so just do what is right. Fight for the small goals. If we look back at those other ethics, you can see why they make it almost impossible to make gains in some areas. I will save the world by doing everything right, and if it isn't all done the right way, I quit. Take a chance. Accept the small wins. Do what's right when you can, and when you can't, work to make it possible to do what is right. That's too big for me. You need special people for that. No, we don't. It starts here. It starts now. It starts with you. There are no special people. They all went home. It's on you. I'm waiting for a great leader to arrive. They called too. They're not coming. Back to you. It just makes me want to cry. It triggers me. I'm not able to handle this. Yes, you are. You have to be. Blow your nose. Take a breath. Wipe your face. Get started. I'm afraid. I am too. I am too. It's scary. Doesn't matter if you start with world hunger or terrorism, animal rights, Black Lives Matter, or refugees. Embrace an ethic of risk. Do what is right in front of you. Begin today. Do it because it's the right thing to do, not because you're planning on changing the world. Impact your house and your block and your school. Realize that these problems took generations, sometimes hundreds of years, to create. You won't fix them by Wednesday, but you may fix a piece that fixes another piece, that begins a cascade, that fixes it in 10 years or 20 or 100. But fix the first piece. Hold one person close to your heart. Dry their tears. Do it today. Feed one family. Save a cat or dog. Send real money to help the refugees. Recycle one bottle. Go to one protest or one teaching session. Take a risk. It's human hands and human hearts and human lives that make the difference. One risk at a time. Because I'll tell you what. God called. They aren't planning on showing up today. It's on you. And you can do it. Celebrate peacemaking. Take a risk. Amen.
we extinguish this flame, but may we keep its light in our hearts with its message of love and justice, bringing it outside these walls to the world we live in until we are together again. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing our closing hymn, hymn number 121, We'll Build a Land.
As we prepare to depart, we give voice to these hopes. May we know ourselves bound in community even when we are apart. May a passion for justice burn in our lives. May we carry the light of compassion in our hearts and in our every interaction. May we be whole in our devotion to truth and always carry the lamp of peace before us. Peace, and may it be so.
You will. Yeah, I'm well. We got a workshop.